And some memory is good and rich and deep. And some memory we would just as soon do without. But it's both there. It's both part of the human condition. But we also declare this, that God himself came in human form and lived a human life, was present with us and present to us in all things, in the joy and the pain, and lived and lives on in that knowledge. So this is our confession, this both end. I'd like to take some time for a prayer of confession. Not in the typical term of, this is what I need to unburden myself from, but this is what I hold to be most true. We have a confession of faith. This is what our ideas are. And as we pray, I invite you to respond to the line, please reveal your compassion with loving God, bring wholeness to us all. Let's pray. God of all things, seen and unseen, if you had insulated yourself from the pain of the world, then your name could not be love and our condition would be without hope. Thank you for being so personally involved, for revealing your complete commitment in Jesus of Nazareth. Through him we pray with hope, and in him we pray with love. Let your healing love be known this day by all who suffer ailment of body, or distress of mind, or agony of spirit. Please reveal your compassion. Loving God, bring wholeness to us all. Let your intimate love be known today by all who feel forgotten or lost, and all who are walking in the dark valley of despair. Please reveal your compassion. Loving God, bring wholeness to us all. Let your fierce love this day redress the wrongs of all who suffer exploitation, injustice, abuse, neglect, violence, or unwarranted imprisonment. Please reveal your compassion. Loving God, bring wholeness to us all. Let your nurturing love today encourage those who are gathering resolve to make tough decisions, take on new responsibilities, or break free of some bondage. Please reveal your compassion. Loving God, bring wholeness to us all. Let your relentless love this day upset congregations that have become self-centered or even contemptuous of other churches. Please reveal your compassion. Loving God, bring wholeness to us all. Let your reconciling love today gather together separated Christians and make them aware of the fellowship and mission of the one universal body of Christ. Please reveal your compassion. Loving God, bring wholeness to us all. Let your inspiring love this day rejuvenate pastor, priest, and prophet, and people, all those who have become weary to the very roots of their souls. Please reveal your compassion. Loving God, bring wholeness to us all. Thank you for hearing us, loving God. with the whole body of believers in time and eternity. We want to love and praise and serve you today and evermore. Through Christ Jesus, your true Son. Amen. Know this, children of God. God hears us, knows us, and embraces us in all that life is.
Please find your purple, sing the stories, and you may remain seated. Turn to number 121 and sing with us. Nothing is lost on the breath of God.
As we prepare for the offering, let's join together in prayer. Giving God, you are our rich supply and our ever steady presence. You have gifted us greatly as we give some of that which you have given. Inspire us to greater trust as we wait and watch for the kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Kids, come forward. I invite you to just gather around the table. Gather, but don't touch, please. Ian's done. It'll be all right. What is the first sin that you guys can remember? Kind of a weird question, right? We don't really have a beginning of the film all the way back. Although I think one of the first things that I can remember is waking up in the middle of the night to the sound of a train whistle and being a little bit freaked out. Yeah. Because the town I grew up in had trains all the time. We remember a lot of stuff. And sometimes the memories are good, and sometimes the memories can make us sad. And today is a day where we're remembering together. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Yes, we say, this is your time, this is about you guys, this is about the kids, but sometimes this is a time about the adults, too, because sometimes this is when things are simple enough and clear enough that they can care, too. Where I was in Arizona for 10 years, we did something weird every first weekend of November. We celebrated All Souls Day. And there, with a large Mexican population, there was this huge parade downtown in Tucson, Arizona, that went down, and thousands of people came out and marched down the street in all sorts of costumes and everything else. And it was there to remember Yeah, like the costumes that we had on Halloween. And is there to remember the people who we wanted to remember? And that's what we're doing here. Not to make us sad, not to make us to revere what happened or to hold it out in front of us, but to simply say that our memories matter. They matter to us. They matter to God. They matter to the body together. And that when we lose somebody, and when we grieve together. And we don't forget. So, what I want you to remember today is we always want to praise God. We always want to be happy in front of God. And that's a good thing. But we also need to know that sometimes it's okay to be sad in front of God. Because in the middle of this, we always have Jesus with us. This is the candle that you guys help light every week. This light of Christ. It's a symbol of Christ with us. It's usually that lamp up there. We moved it down here today because this is going to be our table of memory, and this is to remind us that Jesus is in the middle of our memory. Even here, even now. And that's something that we can celebrate. And you are welcome to remember, too. There's a time later in the service where people are going to be invited to come up and simply light one of these candles. And if there's something that you want to light a candle and your parents say it's okay, it's not okay, Luke. Yep. You can come up and you can light a candle. And you can say, this is what I remember. And this is what I remember with God. Yeah. Thanks for helping me explain today. Go with Elizabeth.
A reading from Luke 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in an inn.
This might seem a strange place to start, and a little bit early to boot. Because this is our Christmas story. The story of how God came into the world. And it's this sweet story of oxen and sheep and donkeys and doves and all the rest with the little baby away in the manger. And often we don't read and don't need to read all the story. Because we also need to remember that this was after an 80-plus-mile journey, probably in the company of Joseph's extended family. And at the end of all that, there was no room in the inn for a very, very pregnant Mary. Probably laboring young as a first-time mother. And there was no room. Nobody said, here, have my space. I'm okay. I'm not having a baby. I can sleep anywhere. There was no room. They were not welcome. Jesus, right from the beginning of his life, was not welcome. He was an outsider. After his birth, Mary and baby Jesus and Joseph fled to Egypt as refugees from the wrath of Herod, a jealous king. Again, we have images of them escaping at night on foot, on the camel. If we even tell that story at all, it's this sort of romantic. They went away for 12 years and then they came back. We get the fear and the sleepless nights and the cold of the desert air, running with a baby. Jesus was a stranger, an outsider, a refugee. He knows what it's like to pick up and do something new. He was acquainted with fear and loss and desperation. He understands the grief that comes from things not working out the way that we had hoped, the way that we had planned. And he can learn even within what seems to us to be dead.
Today we light a candle for all who are afraid, who are lost, who are outsiders, and who feel unwelcome. Let's pray. Jesus, did we not see in the face of those fleeing from violence? Did we not hear your cries at our door? Did we turn you away? Remember the lost, O Lord, and help us to welcome in each other you. In the name of Christ, amen. A reading from Luke 9:57-62. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, foxes have holes, and birds of air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to all the people at home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts a hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And in memory of Alvin Dick, at Marge's request, we read from John 12:26. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor.
Committing to discipleship is not easy. And when we say that we follow Jesus, that we're called to follow Jesus in all ways, that includes relying on others as we have needs. And it can feel sometimes like we are homeless in that work. Jesus had no home, or to put it away another way, Jesus was called away from home and he went willingly traveling where his Father sent him. There may have been times where Jesus thought traveling life wasn't so bad. We don't read about those times, but we do read about his relationship with his disciples, those who he called his friends, the friends who betrayed him and abandoned him at persecution and death. And it's a life that is hard. When we commit to the life of a disciple, we are called to follow Jesus in all ways, including leaving home for the call of God. For some of us, that might be very real and very tangible. Leaving home, life and comfort, possessions and friends. Other times it's less immediate and more metaphorical. Sometimes we leave behind the comfort of simply being normal, the habits that we strive to change, but sometimes struggle with, the time and commitment that could be placed elsewhere. Discipleship takes us many directions and many places, but it takes us each in the steps of the Christ who precedes us.
So today we light a candle for all those who have left home and comfort to listen to the call of God. We light the candle for the lonely and the lost. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you know what it's like to be homeless. Give us courage to welcome the lost and the lonely into our homes. Amen. A reading from Matthew 5, 3 to 12. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Jesus knew what was going on around him. He grew up in a law-abiding, Torah-literate community. And he knew what was clean and unclean, and who, according to the law, was clean and unclean. And there was a direct connection between sin and suffering. Those who suffered greatly obviously had some unresolved or unforgiven sin somewhere in their lives, either an unforgiven act of their parents or sometimes themselves, what they had done. And yet, knowing this relationship between suffering and sin, and knowing the world's inclination to undermine the broken and the sorrowful, Jesus turned the tables. Blessed are you. Blessed are you, the poor. How can that be? Everyone knows that the rich are the ones with God's blessing. Blessed are those who mourn. How can mournfulness be blessing? They just lost something and they feel cursed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. How can they be blessed? They're always longing for justice. Blessed are the meek. Who blesses the meek except those who trample on them? Blessed are the merciful, which just sounds ridiculous. Blessed are the pure in heart, the softies. Blessed are the peacemakers, when it's easier to fight. How in the world are you blessed when people revile and persecute you and utter all sorts of evil against you falsely on Christ's account? It's not our way. It's not the way of the world. It's not the way things are. But it is the way of Christ. Christ points to a different way. A third way, a blessing way, where people are more than their sins and more than their suffering. Jesus reminds us that God hears the faintest cry and honors that. And God meets us in that which would be our woes and converts them into our blessings.
Today we light this candle for all who are misunderstood, for all who mourn in the losing after and before. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, like this candle, bring some warmth and light to those who mourn, who hunger and thirst, and who weep. Help us to be people of blessing, who bring light to places of darkness and fear. From Revelation 21, 1-7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I'm making all things new." And he also said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." And then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children."
This is where we are headed. This is the promise that God will wipe away every tear, that God will make things new. Even as we acknowledge the grief that is with us, we must also point toward that which is God's will. Grief is not a process of set emotions or set procedures that can be broken down in five easy steps, that once you get through this, you are whole and healed. But it does get better. It does change. It does heal. God heals both now, and God will heal us fully in the completion of time. This is the faith that we have, the faith that we hold, and the faith that we proclaim together for each other. Nobody can proclaim this faith in their own voice at every moment of their lives. Sometimes we need the body to simply say what we cannot. That God is with us and God will heal. Because grief comes in every shape and size and for every reason. And we are not always able to proclaim it, this perfect promise ourselves in every time. At the center of this table is Christ. Christ with us. The light shining in the darkness. This is the table of memory. The table that calls us here. We light candles specifically now. For those of this year and of other times who have passed. Remember Al Dick. We remember Regan Bonato and the number of friends of her life who have passed in this year. We remember Bard's mother, Kay Danick. And Bard's nephew, Chris Studdards. We invite you to bring your memories to this time, to this place. You're welcome to come up and light a candle. And if you wish to articulate a name or a thing or an idea in a word or two, you may. Or you can simply let the light speak for itself. Come and bring the light of love and hope to this place.
But before we do that, let's pray. Comforting God, wrap us in your presence when we remember these beloved ones. With these candles, help us to find your light, a light that will guide us day by day, step by step, as we try to live life fully and wholly. We cherish the special ways in which our loved ones have touched us, and we thank you for the gift of their lives. Now comfort us, encourage us, empower us. Amen. And if you want, you may come up and light a candle.
You are all we have. You
remember and we hold memory together before the God who remembers with us. We'd also invite us to share what is on your heart today. Reed has the mic.
This is Becca Burkholder. I want to update you guys on my mom. I was home for a couple days, and my sisters and I and my dad and my mom were all together for pretty much the whole time we were there. We had time to laugh and talk and share about our current lives, and then we also had time to cry together. Just the news of mom having appendix cancer is just really shocking to our family. But we're not giving up hope that mom will beat this cancer. She does have stage 4 appendix cancer, which is not looking promising. The doctors didn't want to give my mom too much hope. Chemotherapy will help, but we're just, we feel like all of our hope needs to be put in God and not in the chemo to do its job. So please pray for our family as we're digesting all of this, and for my mom as she's starting treatment soon.
Thank you, Becca.
I spoke with Roger Reimer on Friday, and Carmen was actually at that time in the cancer care in Newton having a IV treatment. He indicated that with Carmen's job at Harvey County, I believe it's auditor's office. She is very busy at this time, so she can't take time off to really recuperate because it's the election is coming up next week, and also tax statements had to go out. So he said that she's experiencing a lot of anxiety over the her condition plus what her workload is, and he asked that we remember them in prayer.
Regan got in touch with me this morning. She sends her best and her sincere thanks and gratefulness for the prayers that we sent up in for her this week. She just wasn't feeling up to the journey today as she's adjusting to new medications and a new regime in her own body. So let's keep her in prayer as she continues to heal.
One additional thing I'd like to thank the people who were responsible for a really nice day last Sunday, Diane and Sharla and Linda for the wonderful food, and Melissa for the awesome decorations. And we all appreciated what a lovely day it was. That was in addition to a nice service with April.
Hear, hear.
There is something known as a scale of things that happen in one's life in a short period of time. And I'd just like to note and congratulate our pastors as their fifth wedding anniversary was this week. And I'm trying to think, all of the things that have happened in your life in the last 5 years, my goodness, our prayers are with you.
Thank you. This and more, let's come before God in prayer. Holy One, Creator of us all, to you we give thanks for every blessing, for you are generous, a lover of souls. Form within us wisdom, sustained and nurtured by your Holy Spirit, that we might have the grace to listen deeply and respond with compassion. May we be filled with gratitude for every life, for family, for friends, and for the saints who have gone before us. From those who are peacemakers, may we learn and follow their example. From those who are pure in heart, may we become likewise Christ-like. Holy One, Creator of all, to you we give thanks for every blessing, for you are generous, O lover of souls. For those who suffer, we ask comfort. For those who are ill, we ask for healing. For those who struggle, we ask for peace. For those who worry, we ask for guidance. For those who are anxious, we ask for solace. For those who are hungry, may we give food. For those who are homeless, may we provide shelter. For those who are poor, may we bring sustenance. For all the worries and cares of this earth, may we be your heart and hands. May we be generous as you, Holy One, Creator of all. To you we give thanks for every blessing, for you are generous, O lover of all. God of every nation, tribe, people, and language, God of all creation, this great multitude of life, for all this we give thanks. Bless us, that we may be a blessing in return. Amen. Let's sing together from the Hymnal of Worship book, 614.
Please stand and remain standing for the benediction.
Doubt there is believing in our life eternal. death, a resurrection, at the last a victory, unrevealed until this season, something God alone can see.
May Christ be our light, no matter what the season, no matter what the emotion. And may that light shine within, without, and beyond, now and always. Amen.